Hi, welcome to another episode of Bill Selleck Talks. I am your host, Bill Selleck, and this is me talking. So last week I was at the annual Q conference out in Palm Springs, and it was an amazing time. So many awesome folks presenting really cool ideas. And the one thing that really stuck out to me more than anything else was teachers willing to take risks in the classroom. I think where it was most prominent was during the EduWin Awards. So if you're not familiar with the EduWin Awards, check out eduwin.org, E-D-U-W-I-N. The EduWin Awards were in their first season, first round, first annual. It was the first time we did the EduWin Awards. EdReach and Q were sponsors, a couple other good folks. And what I really liked about these EduWin Awards was that it was not kind of the usual suspects of like the EdTech rock stars of like, well, of course that person would win, you know, like they're super famous and they have 60,000 Twitter followers. It was a lot of people that I had not heard of or met. I mean, which doesn't say much, but I hadn't. In fact, there was only one person that I actually did know ahead of time. But the point is that all these people are doing all these amazing things and someone at their school nominated them for this award. And the one thing that stuck out over and over and over again is not just be like, well, that's not going to happen, but to say, all right, let's try this. Let's make this happen. I don't know if it's going to work, but let's do this. And it was amazing. Like, there are so many different projects, people starting different websites. The winner was actually a sophomore in high school, Emmy Ryder, who decided to participate in PBL chat, project-based learning chat. And it's like I guess how people would typically think about it. I want to say the goal of it. I was about to, and I guess I just did. But people usually think about teacher chats as those by teachers or administrators or those that whose job it is to be in the education thing. And here she is, sophomore in high school, like totally participating in it, and a couple other chats here and there. But it's amazing, like she's moderating PBL chat. So instead of being like, yeah, you know, it might be a little embarrassing if I'm, I don't know, a 15-year-old in high school, let's do it. There was another guy, Isaac, up in the Bay Area that just started running with it and doing some really cool stuff with his students. And it wasn't, well, we don't have funding for this idea for all this multimedia stuff. It's let's make it happen. And I don't really know what I'm doing, but let's do it. In fact, LeVar Burton's keynote, that theme came up again and again, being able to take risks and just going for it. My favorite quote of his was, I don't really understand these technologies, but let's figure it out together. That just really resonates with me right now as a teacher, because there's so much stuff, so much new stuff, so much stuff that I kind of know about, but I'm not 100% comfortable with. And I think that we as teachers need to be willing to put ourselves out there in front of our students and be like, dude, not sure how this is going to work, but you know, let's give it a go. This is my first year back to second grade. I've been doing elementary music for the last few years, and there's a whole lot of stuff that I'm like, all right, let's see if this works. You know, I heard about 20% time, genius hour, whatever you want to call it. And I said, well, that's pretty cool. Let's try it with second graders. And come to find out that a lot of the 20 time projects are from high school students. But my second graders are doing an awesome job. I tweaked it a little bit. So, you know, the first time I didn't really understand exactly what was going on, didn't know how it was going to work, how big of a project or how lengthy of a project to give my students. So we tried doing the whole thing in a day, in like 1 hour, where they would research something, write out a couple sentences, and then present. And that was way too fast. So I talked with Kate Petty, and she actually taught me a little about it at Orange County Q, at the OCQ conference. And she was like, yeah, just stretch it out. So I ended up doing basically a month. And we've run through this with this month-long model twice, and it's awesome. So the first week, I get the laptop cart, and we don't have enough laptops for one-to-one, even with the cart. There's 15 laptops, and I have 21 students. So they double up, which actually works really well. If you think about the four C's, now they're collaborating. That's starts with the letter C. And they get to work together. So it's not just like, oh, I'm stuck. They actually get to, you know, do a lot of that critical thinking. There's another C, by the way, together. And that's week one. So they research at week one, basically just doing Google searches because they've never really done that with an educational mindset before. And then the second and third weeks, they work on kind of a presentation and take notes. So I think I might tweak that. They've been doing it in Google Docs and then Google Presentations, but it's really, really hard to get them in front of a computer. It's easy for one student, but not for 21 of them. So yeah, that's probably going to change. Maybe we'll do like a poster one week, or, you know, like, I don't know, something that isn't necessarily a presentation inside of Google Presentations. So week two and three, and then week four, they present to each other, and it's awesome. I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I mean, they're seven, and I didn't want to make it this thing, like, you know, with super formal and a rubric and grades, and then handing them their grade and be like, your project sucks. But just kind of keeping it open and just, you know, kind of setting that culture for my classroom. And they loved it, and they did an amazing job. And they're excited to get started when we get back from spring break for another end of Genius Hour. But, you know, that's just like one small thing that I'm doing in my classroom. Then when I started it, I had no idea what it was going to look like. But that's okay. I think that one of the things that we take for granted as teachers, especially those in public education, is that it's pretty hard to get in trouble for teaching a bad lesson. So, I mean, I teach enough bad lessons without, you know, being purposeful about it. Just, you know, something doesn't work. Occasionally, it's amazing. That's usually what we tweet out and blog about are those, you know, 1 out of 100 lessons that are just awesome. And then people think that every lesson's like that, and it's not. You know, most are okay. A few are exceptionally awesome, and a few are exceptionally poor, just for, you know, whatever reason. Like, it just didn't quite work out. And that's okay. I think that if we as teachers are okay with things not being perfect, then we're much more willing to take that risk. So next time you go to a conference, next time you find out this new tool from Twitter or a blog or Google Plus or, you know, wherever in the internets that you find these things, give it a shot. Don't feel like you have to figure the whole thing out. Just kind of run with it. You know, I'm doing that with my second graders now with Minecraft. They know about it more than I do. And it's not until, you know, about a month of kind of playing with it that I figured out, all right, here's a cool way to actually do it with 2 laptops and 21 kids to actually get them engaged. You know, kind of modeling math problems in the Minecraft world, but we're still doing kind of paper and pencil so that they're making that connection. So that in third grade, they don't have to have Minecraft to be able to do math, but, you know, they're able to see it in a number of ways and visualize it in a number of ways. And I still don't really know what I'm doing with Minecraft. And again, I think that's okay. So get out there, get in your classroom, take those risks, and then share those out, because it's good stuff. And I think that the only way we're really going to make this change systemically as an education institution, bonus points, by the way, for saying institution and systemic in one sentence. The only way we're going to make that change is if we're taking these risks and willing to try to be innovative. And sometimes it's going to stink, but other times it's going to be amazing. And I think it's good modeling for students when stuff doesn't work out. Hey, we failed. Here's how you deal with that gracefully. You don't just pout and throw a fit, but let's keep going. But it also, I think, sets the culture for your classroom of it's okay to take risks, it's okay to fail, and when stuff works out, it's really stinking cool. So love to hear about what risks you are taking in your classroom. I'm going to keep blogging about it. I think I actually need to start blogging about Genius Hour with my second graders because it's good stuff. So thanks for listening to Bill Selleck Talks.